Amen. Thank you, Brother John, Miss Jean, Miss Susan. Thank you all for being here tonight. As we continue our study in Proverbs, we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 10, verses 1 through 17. If you'd like to follow along in your word, I hope you have that and your notes to the side. We are going to get into the meat, if you will, of Proverbs. And as we get into the meat of Proverbs, we're going to take a long trip from 10 all the way to chapter 31 of some very wise sayings that we get from King Solomon, along with some other folks that will be scattered in here as well. But these are the Proverbs of Solomon that we will be studying tonight. And these are Proverbs of contrast. He's going to make a positive statement, then he's going to make a negative statement. And we're going to look at those, and we're going to study those. I've heard people say this before, that Proverbs are basically a truthful revelation that may not always apply to you. But I'm here to tell you tonight, every proverb I've ever read applies to me spot on. That's just me. Now, I don't know about you, but every proverb that I read, I glean truth from it. I glean wisdom from it. And I pray that I gain understanding to not make errors from things that I've done in the past, that I don't do those things again. So let's look at these things tonight as we work our way to verse 17, and then we'll close this. Proverbs of Solomon, verse 1. A wise son makes a glad father. Amen. But a foolish son is the grief of his mother. Now, let's talk about that. A wise son, okay, that is somebody in the Hebrew, sakal, prudent, sound, judgmental, a prudent son, a son that you can be proud of. You can apply also daughter in there as well. In the Eastern culture, you could see that it was an honor to have a son. It was an honor to have a son so that name could be passed on, okay? And so to have this son, a wise son makes a glad father, a joyful father, okay? When you're around dads, okay, and I'm around dads a lot, one thing that I've noticed about dads is they like to brag on their kids. And a father that is very proud of their kids will brag on their kids. But a father that is not proud of their kids usually doesn't even mention them at all. Have you ever noticed that? When I'm in conversations with dads about their kids, if their kids are being very successful, quote unquote, by the world's standards, the parents, or dads especially, are very boisterous. They're very proud. They're very complimentary of what their kids has become. I did a wedding this past Friday evening, and one of the gentlemen there was telling me about all of his kids. And he was telling me about, now here was his standard of success. And this is a great standard of success. This is nothing for him not to be bragging about. This kid had got a bachelor's degree. This kid had a bachelor's degree. This kid had a master's degree. This kid had a bachelor's degree. And all of them were working. All of them were married. All of them were doing good. So he was very proud of that. Rightfully so, I would say. Okay? So when we see this, fathers bragging on their kids because they're proud of them, usually you don't hear anything from the father. The father is rather silent if their kid is not doing very good. If their kid is into trouble, if their kid is into addiction, if their kid is into the perils of the world, and listen, folks, it happens to all of us. Usually, when you talk to those fathers, they'll be beaming and prideful about the kids that are doing good. But those kids that are the black sheep, if you will, quote unquote, they don't even want to mention them. And so when I'm talking to fathers and I bring up a situation or I say, well, how's so-and-so doing? Why'd you bring that name up? You know, they have this negative connotation to that son or that daughter that is not pleasing to them. And so we get to this next statement that, Solomon says here, and this is interesting to me. But a foolish son is the grief of his mother. Now, there is a distinct difference in a mother's love for her kids and a father's love for her kids. And when we think about that love, I want you to think about this. A foolish son is the grief of his mother. The dad is going to be quiet. I don't want to talk about him right now. I don't want to talk about him. He is a major screw-up. I just don't want to talk about him right now. I've heard that before from so many dads. Okay? But then when you talk to the mother, tears well up in those eyes. And they say, pray for my kid. Pray for my kid. Mothers, you have a special place in the Lord's eyes. Because a foolish son is the grief of his mother. As a father is silent, that boy or that girl sure does weigh on a mama's heart. The daddy may keep on going with life and not think one thing about it. He needs to just get his act straight. That's what dads say, right? But the mother is what? The mother's on her knees at the bed, praying for the salvation of her son and daughter. That's what it is. I've seen this. I've seen this proverb. I've seen it in action, okay? I've seen it in action. And I think if you'll be honest with yourself tonight, you have to. So we move to verse 2. And Solomon says that the treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivers from death. From death. So let's talk about this for a second. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing. That wickedness would be, the Hebrew means treasures that were derived from deceit, from unjust dealings, from theft, all of this unrighteous treasures of wickedness, it profits nothing. Can I share something with you tonight? In Miami, Florida tonight at the Hard Rock Stadium, down there where the Miami Dolphins play, there is a boxing match that will blow records out the water tonight. It's not even a boxing match. It's an exhibition match because there's no referee, there's no judges, nothing like that. There's a guy by the name of Floyd Mayweather, Floyd Money Mayweather. He's one of the best boxers in the world, pound for pound, one of the best boxers in the world. He's fighting tonight a guy that's a YouTube star by the name of Logan Paul. And Logan Paul is a multimillionaire. Floyd Mayweather may be close to being a billionaire. And tonight, Money Mayweather stepping into the ring with this YouTuber is going to make, listen to me, church, $100 million.
Gosh.
In Floyd Mayweather's house, he has a sink made of gold, with a toothbrush made of gold, with a commode made of gold. Now, when we talk about excessive, we're trying to get a building built. Amen? And we've got a guy that's got a toothbrush that costs more than we could ever imagine. Floyd, if you're watching tonight, take your wicked treasures and stop profiting them for nothing. And boy, I pray somebody like Floyd Mayweather or what is his name, Logan Paul, some of these guys that have all this money, that the Lord would save their soul.
Yeah.
And they would use it, not for wickedness, but they would use it for the Lord. Wouldn't that mean something if that happened? But this is what we have. We have treasures of wickedness. It profits nothing. I heard Lloyd Sullivan say one time that he's never seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul trailer. That's the truth. You never do. When you go to a funeral, you never see that.
Yeah.
What you and I have, what's this? It's not going with us. It is not going with us.
That's true.
So one of the things that we ought to think about is how can we use our treasures that the Lord has given us, how can we use that for His kingdom, for His glory? Treasures of wickedness profit nothing. But listen to this. Righteousness delivers from death. Where is righteousness found? Only in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Y'all know this passage of Scripture? They had to memorize it this week at Bible school at Sand Springs. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The only way that you and I can be righteous, have righteousness, be declared righteous, is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Righteousness delivers from death. Aren't you excited about that tonight?
Mm-hmm.
That's what the Solomon, the wise king, says here. Righteousness delivers from death. Verse 3. The Lord will not allow the righteous soul to famish. Now, this is true. This is true. The Lord will not allow the righteous soul, the soul that has been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, He will not allow the soul to famish. The soul in the Hebrew means the whole makeup of the body. Famish means to hunger or thirst. Okay? I don't know about you, but I've never gone thirsty and I've never gone hungry. The Lord is taking care of me. There might have been some times I missed supper. I could miss a lot of suppers, trust me. Okay? There might have been a lot of times that I've worked through lunch or I wasn't able to eat lunch, whatever the case may be. But I'm here to tell you today, the Lord will not allow the righteous soul to famish, hunger, or thirst. Aren't you thankful for the provisions that He's given us tonight? Thankful for our daily bread. But look at what he says next there. Solomon said, but he cast away the desire of the wicked. He cast away. It means to throw. Like we talked about the seed this morning, it means to cast away the desire. This desire is destruction and disaster. And he cast away the desire of the wicked. He cast it where? He cast it to hell. To hell. That's the desires of the wicked. The desires of the wicked will get them one place, and that's straight to hell. And my prayer tonight is that is not you. My prayer tonight is that you're considered a righteous soul, not by what you've done, but because of the work that Jesus Christ did at the cross for us. Look at verse 4. Boy, in this tree, young people, listen to this. He who has a slack hand becomes poor. Okay? He who has a slack hand becomes poor. John talked about that song, we'll work till Jesus comes. And John's a worker. There's a lot of you in this church that are workers. You get after it for the Lord. In Solomon's talking here, it is about an economical job that you've been called to. And as you've been called to that, he who has a slack hand, that word in the Hebrew means lazy, young people. Means slothful, young people. Okay? Lazy, slothful hand, you will become poor. You will become poor. Listen, man, I have worked with some interesting characters over the years. I work with people that when they get up and they have a little bitty old cough, they'll call in sick. I've worked with people that, man, they've had absences. I had a stack of absentee forms on my desk of a personnel that had 30 absences in one school year, and I wrote her up for non-renewal of contract, and people thought I was cold-hearted. But I'm telling you, folks, when you are slack hand, when you are lazy, when you are slothful, and you don't do your job, you will become poor. And when you have people in management positions that oversee you, and listen, if you're not working for yourself tonight, somebody's your boss, okay? And as they're your boss, they're watching you, and they're studying you, and they're looking at you, and they're watching everything that you do. And so we have to do what? We have to prove ourselves. We have to prove ourselves by being a good hand, not a slack hand, because a slack hand will become poor. Will become poor. Solomon said in the book of Ecclesiastes, he said this, "Nothing is better for a man than that he should eat and drink and that his soul should enjoy good in his labor." Good in his labor. Dr. David Jeremiah said, focus on the work that you've been called to. Focus on it. Focus on the work that you've been called to. And he says this, he says, not only focus on the work that you've been called to, he says, enjoy your work. This also I saw was from the hand of God, for who can eat or who can have enjoyment more than I? For God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy to a man who is good in his sight. But to the sinner, he gives the work of gathering and collecting, that he may give to him who is good before God. This also is vanity and grasping for the wind. 1 Timothy 6:17 says this. It says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but to trust in the living God. Listen to this. Who gives us richly all things to enjoy. All things to enjoy. So when you think about this tonight, you see that there is a result of being slack, there is a result of being lazy, there is a result of being slothful, and that result is you'll become poor, okay? But look at what he says on the contrast of the proverb. He says, the hand of the diligent makes rich. The hand of the diligent. The diligent means somebody at work. Somebody at work. The hand of the diligent, he is going to make rich. I have seen people that go work their fingers to the bone. And what was that old song by Hoyt Axton? All you get's bony fingers, right? But when you think about this, when you work your fingers to the bone and you're busting it every day on that job, if you're taking care of what the Lord is giving you, you have things in this world that other people do not have. You become, who are diligent, he makes rich. He makes rich. So think about that tonight. He's given us things to enjoy. And he does that by somebody that is hand of the diligent, he makes rich. He goes on and he adds to this in verse 5. And he says, he who gathers in the summer is a wise son. He who gathers in the summer is a wise son. He uses agricultural terminology, one who works in the field. There's that word again, wise, sekal in the Hebrew, which means prudent, sound judgment. They're a prudent son. They have good judgment. They're a sound son. He who gathers in the summer is a wise son. They're much like the animal that he referred to back in Proverbs 5, I believe it was, of the ant. Remember that? The good terminology that he gave to the ant. Let me tell you one of the best things my dad ever did for me. He made me go over there in the fields for Cordwood Dotson, Joyce Williams' uncle, and pick peas in the summertime. That made a man out of me. And I needed that. I needed somebody to put me in the hot sun instead of in the air conditioning in the summertime and have the sun beating down on my back and be out there bent over all day long from sunup to sundown picking peas all day long. And have Mr. Dotson come out there, big man, 6'3", wore those coveralls, and come out there and get on our tail end. I needed that. And I look back on those years, and it's what helped me. And I'm not saying I had the greatest work ethic, but it helped me develop a work ethic to where when I went to Brookshire's, I was able to move up the ladder. When I went into education, I was able to move up the ladder. And I'm just going to be honest with you guys tonight. I can get lazy real quick. That's why I like a schedule. 6:45 a.m. bus route. 8 o'clock school starts. This time period at 3:45 to 4:30 bus route. Come back, finish up this objective, and then go to this. I don't know about you, but I don't like not having a schedule. I like having a set schedule. Retirement would drive me crazy. It would, because I like to say, this is what happens here. This is what happens here. This is what happens here. I like a regimented schedule. I enjoy that. It keeps me very accountable. When I don't have a regimented schedule, I gain 20 pounds. When I don't have a regimented schedule, I get way off track. When I don't have that regimented schedule to keep me accountable. And so when you look at this tonight, he who gathers in the summer is a wise son. A wise son. I drove by Junior Willis's this week to carry my girls to Vacation Bible School, and I spent some summers out there hauling hay. And I told my girls, there's one thing about it, girls, I'll never haul hay again. But when you think about that, he who gathers in the summer is a wise son. But watch this. He who sleeps in the harvest is a son who causes shame. This is the son or the daughter who is lazy. They won't do anything. And when the harvest is there, the peas are there to be picked, the hay is to be thrown, the watermelons are to be pitched and stacked. When all of those things are to be brought in, this is the son or daughter that lays asleep all day, gets up at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. What are we going to do tonight, guys? You know, those kinds of people. And here he says, he who sleeps in the harvest is a son who causes shame. The Hebrew word means that it causes disgrace. 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 Okay? You say, so Michael, are you telling me that you go to work and do the things that you do because you want to make your parents proud? Sure. Sure I do. I don't want my mom and dad to say, golly, we got a bum of a son. They may say it anyway. I don't know. I don't want them to say that. I want my parents to be proud. I want a church to be proud. I want my wife to be proud. I want my girls to be proud, to where there's not somebody that's a disgrace, but it's somebody that is wise because they value a work ethic. A work ethic. Let's move forward in verse 6. Blessings are on the head of the righteous. But look at the contrast here. Violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Blessings are on the head of the righteous. How many of you can say amen to that tonight? Yeah. Boy, I know I can. Blessings are on the head of the righteous. I've been so blessed, and I'm not righteous because of me. It's because of who God is, but he has blessed me beyond abundance tonight. Of things that I can just praise his name for. So when I look at this, blessings are on the head of the righteous. But Solomon says in this contrast proverb, violence covers the mouth of the wicked. This is violent language that comes out of the mouth of the wicked. I tell you, church, I am ashamed at some of the rap music that our kids listen to today.
Yeah.
And trust me, they can quote it way better than they can the Word of God. And that rap music degenerates a soul. It degenerates a heart. It degenerates a mind. How do you know that, brother? I used to listen to the junk. And when you listen to that junk, it brings you down. It weighs you down. And, you know, sometimes I'm watching YouTube and these things pop up. And these, I don't know what they're, these little short videos. And it shows some of these rappers. I was watching Mayweather and Paul get ready to fight tonight. And boy, they were in there sparring. I wouldn't want to fight those guys. But they all on that feed would be different rappers that would come up. I'd have to X out because of the language of this thing. But see, Solomon makes it very clear. Violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Of the wicked. You know people like that. They can't say one good thing without having to put a cuss word in there. You know people like that, that every word that comes out of their mouth has got to be vulgar, it's got to be blasphemous, it's got to be bringing everybody else down. They can't say anything without having violence come out of their mouth. Their mouth. Jesus said this in Luke chapter 6, verse 45. In Luke 6, 45, let me find this. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good. An evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, brings forth evil. Now listen to this. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. So whatever is in your heart tonight is going to come out of your mouth. And I see people that I have known all my life. And when I see them at the ballpark or I see them in town, and I know their nature, and the first thing they do is pop off a cuss word. Or the first thing they do is have to add an adjective that really didn't have to be on that to make it so colorful. But they've got to do it anyways just to show how macho they are. And when I was young, I was fascinated by that. But now that I'm old, I cringe at the very hearing, especially of God's name in vain. I don't want to hear that. Violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Here's what else we know about the wicked. Look at verse 7. The memory of the righteous is blessed, but the name of the wicked rot. Think about this tonight. I think about the memory of the righteous. Boy, there's been, I was thinking about this, I was studying for this lesson. There's been a lot of people in this church that influenced me. There's been a lot of people in this church, when I think about their memories, I smile. There's been a lot of people in this church, when I think about their memories, I get a tear in my eye. Every funeral that I've ever gone to, y'all may say this is some type of weird thing that you do, but every funeral that I go to, I save the obituary, and I've got them in a folder. And so I go back and I look at different people, because I like to recollect on memories. And I remember the times that we had together, and I remember the worship that we had together. I enjoy doing that, but I'm going to tell you what. The memories of the righteous, they bless us, don't they? I can name people in this pulpit tonight that have been in this church, that have gone to be with the Lord, that have invested in me, all beyond belief. And their memory just blesses my heart. But I'm going to tell you what. Solomon's right when he says this. He says the name of the wicked will rot. The name of the wicked will rot. There's been wicked people that have died and gone to hell, and we don't even remember that they were even here. That's the truth. That's a proverb that's true, amen? Yeah. That there's been people that are wicked as wicked can be, and you don't even have a recollection of their memory. I want to ask you something tonight, church. What's going to be said about you at your funeral? What is going to be a lasting impact that you're going to have on this generation? That's a question I think that we all need to ask ourselves. Because the wicked, their name will rot, but the righteous, their memory will be a blessing to you forever.
Amen.
Think about that. Verse 8. The wise in heart will receive commands. Boy, I wish more people was hearing this tonight. But a prating fool will fall. The wise in heart. The wise in heart, there's that word again that was back in verse 1. That was also there in verse 5. Now it shows back up in verse 8. The wise in heart will receive commands. Three imperatives here that the wise will do. Number one, the wise will listen. Listen. The good Lord gave us two ears and one mouth. What do you think we need to do? Number two, the wise in heart will follow commands. When commands are given by God, the wise will walk with the Lord. The wise will walk with the Lord. The unjust, they'll live like the devil. They'll live like the world. But the wise, you watch their life, and they're walking with the Lord. And then the third thing that will happen here is this. The wise in heart can be taught. I think that's important. See, the prating fool can't be taught. I'm going to start preaching right now. The prating fool can't be taught, because the prating fool, the word prating in Hebrew means chattering. You ever know those people that talk all the time? You can't get a word in edgewise. That's why I hate talking on the phone. If you call me, I love talking to you, but I don't like answering my phone because I can't ever get off. Because people just all the time. And man, it just drives me insane. And you have these people, I'm going to try to be nice, but I'm going to have to preach it like it is. They already know everything. And you can't teach them anything. because they already know everything. And since they know everything, they got to be chattering all the time to tell you how much they know. So you sit there and you're just in awe because they're talking all the time of everything that they know, because they're a prating fool who's chattering all the time and telling you what they already know when you're trying to teach them when they ask for advice. Can I get a witness tonight from somebody? I wish we had more people in our church here tonight. The prating fool will not listen. The prating fool will not follow God's command. As a matter of fact, God's command don't mean anything to them. They would rather go by some business acumen than they would the Word of God. The prating fool cannot be taught because they already know everything. They already know everything. The prating fool cannot be taught. I work with coaches. We went to coaching school all over the state of Texas. And I would go to every clinic available. And why are you going to that? Because I want to learn. I want to listen. I want to be commanded on how to do this. And I've had coaches tell me this. Well, I already knew all that. Then let me ask you a question. Why are you still coaching JV basketball at a 2A high school? Right? I went to see Bobby Knight, one of the greatest college basketball coaches ever. I don't care what you think about his personality or his coaching style, one of the greatest coaching personalities of all time. And he said something that was so simple, yet so profound. And I'm sitting there, and on one statement that he said, I won't bore you with basketball talk, one statement he said about basketball, and I wrote it down, and I kept writing. And I filled up a page of information from Coach Knight on one statement. Why? Because he's wise in the game of basketball. I wanted to learn. I wanted to be taught. I wanted to listen. But the prating fools that were around me, they already knew everything. And they go next year into the JV basketball season with a 6-23 record. Congratulations. Congratulations. Same thing can be applied to the church. People in the church know everything. They're going to tell you how to do it because you don't know what you're doing. Man, listen, I hear it all the time. And so what we have here is this. We have the wise in heart receiving commands, but Solomon says the prating fool will fall. The prating fool, I've got it in quotations here in my notes, they're a know-it-all. I don't know about you, but I don't like being around know-it-alls. I like being around humble people. They just want to humble themselves before them. Man, it's quiet tonight. I was hoping y'all get fired up a little bit. Verse 9. He who walks with integrity walks securely. Walks means abides with integrity, walks securely. Miss Curry, Miss Ricks, y'all are mathematicians. What is an integer? Did y'all hear these ladies tonight, class? It's a positive and negative number. Did you know that too, Corey? Good job, student. I'm proud of you for that. So listen, we get the word integer from integrity. And integrity simply means this: wholeness of character. Wholeness of character. He who walks with integrity walks with a wholeness of a mindset after God. He is to be completely right as defined by God. Not right by the world's standards, but right in the eyes of God. That is somebody who walks with integrity. You men and women that have integrity tonight, people will flock to you because they want to be around people that are wholesome. They want to be around people that have a mindset of God. They want to be around somebody that is righteous. People that run away from you, maybe you need to talk about with the Lord, what is my integrity like?
Right.
My integrity. He who walks with integrity, listen to this, walks securely. Don't you love that? I've got in my notes here, nothing changes about his character. Nothing changes about his character. I have been just in awe of how good God has been to me over the last couple of weeks. My close friends know that just a couple of weeks ago, I had zero job offers on the table. Zero. Starting to shake. And then the Lord just opened up. Man, God is good, and God is good all the time.
Man, that's right.
And the Lord opened up a plethora of jobs. And I had many to choose from of what he blessed me with. And one of the selling points on one of them that I just eventually said no to because I just had a piece about the other was who was my boss going to be? And my boss was a good man, a man I love and admire. I was going to work with people that I would just admire, that I would enjoy being around. But he took me to lunch with his boss, the big dog. And he said, let me tell you. He said, this guy that you ate with, this guy that you've been around here for the last 2 hours, this guy is the same way that you just ate with him at lunch. He is the same way that way today. He'll be the same way tomorrow. He'll be the same way the next day. Every time you see him, his character does not change. He is steady, and he is steady all the time. Michael, you wouldn't know it if he was going through a divorce. You wouldn't know it if he lost his 401k. You wouldn't know it because this man has integrity and he walks in righteousness with God. And I was like, wow, I want to work for somebody like that. Right? I want to work for somebody like that. And so when I think of this, I think about this walking securely. But he who perverts his ways will become known. Perverts his ways means that he's going to take a twisted path. And when you who are of integrity, you who are of my moral character, you who are of righteousness, when you go out and get succumbed to the temptation of the world and it perverts your character, it will be made known. And there's been a lot of good men and a lot of good women fall. Been a lot of good men, a lot of good women fall because the path has been perverted. Perverted. Oh, church, may we stay on the path of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
I need this more than you do. Verse 10. Solomon says, he who winks with the eye causes trouble. But here we go again. A praying fool will fall. He who winks with the eye causes trouble. I do that sometimes. I'll wink at people. When somebody's talking a whole lot and they turn their head, I'll look at somebody else and wink at them. You know, wink at them. He who winks with the eye causes trouble. Okay? You know those people that are always pulling pranks, pulling stunts like that. They're winking all the time, you know. But this goes a little bit deep. He who winks with the eye causes trouble. Trouble in the Hebrew means malice. He who causes hurt. He who causes harm. This is what this gets into. He who winks with the eye causes harm, but a prating fool, a chattering fool who knows it all, will fall. Will fall. Boy, Solomon not spot on tonight or what? Right? So we move on to the next verse in verse 11. Oh, how I love this. The mouth of the righteous is a well of life. But again, he comes back with what he said back there in verse 6. Violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Let's talk about that for just a second. The mouth of the righteous is a well of life. When you have people that are righteous and they talk, the word here means well of life. It means refreshing. There are ones of you here in the church that when we visit with you, it is refreshing to visit with you. It refreshes me. Watch this. There are some people when you visit with, you get brought down. I'm just being real.
Yep.
Then there's some people that you visit with that it is refreshing. And it builds you up. The mouth of the righteous is like a well of life. It's refreshing. And not only is it refreshing, one of the commentators that I study said this, it's like getting a good cup of cold water on a hot summer day. That's what it's like talking to somebody that is righteous. Their language, their just being around. There's so many of you I could name in this church, but I don't want to hurt people's feelings, because when I name names, people get their feelings hurt. I'm going to tell you something. When I filled in at Myrtle Springs Baptist Church in Quitman, Texas, and I would go up there Sunday after Sunday and fill in, I would be around Johnny and Mike Ziegler, two of the deacons there, and they are righteous men that I enjoyed every time you were around them. It was like a well of life. When I would go to other churches and fill in, and you have those people that come and see you, and it's just like a well of life that's being poured over you. I don't know about you, but that makes a preacher feel good. And so I would encourage you to be this mouth of righteousness that is a well of life. But listen to this, violence covers the mouth of the wicked, what he said there back in verse 6. Violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Verse 12. Boy, our church may need to hear this tonight. Our Sunday school teacher, Brother Steve, has just been doing an incredible journey with us on love. And we were talking about the types of love today. And we want to look at this tonight. Hatred stirs up strife. Okay? This is a classic Baptist church verse right here. Hatred stirs up strife. Okay? Well, listen to what Solomon says. But love covers all sins. Woo! Is that outstanding or what? So let's work our way through this. Hatred stirs up strife. This hatred can be dissension between a brother or sister in the church. Hatred can be dissension between a brother and brother in the church. Hatred can be a dissension between factions in the church, or what I like to call holy huddles in the church. Well, this is my group and my group alone. Well, no, we're all one church, amen? Mm-hmm. And so when we look at this, these dissensions that can be caused, when you have dissension in the church, it stirs up strife among the people. And people become very discontented. And I have had numerous people tell me, I will not come to church because of the contention and the dissension and all of the hatred that stirred up among that. They said, I get that at the workplace. I've had people tell me this. I get that in my own house. Why would I want to come to church for that?
Yeah, true.
When you have dissension and hatred in your life, and you have hatred in the church house, you're going to have problems. When you have hatred stirred up in the workplace, you're going to have problems. When you have hatred stirred up in your house, you're going to have problems. So you have to address the hatred. And Solomon gives us in this contrast proverb the ultimate answer to hatred. It's love. Love covers all sins. Yeah. Now, whose love? The love that God had for us. Mm-hmm. That while we were yet sinners, He sent His Son to die in our place. So when we think about this tonight, I want you to ask yourself a question. Is hatred stirring up inside of you? Steve wrecked a nerve with me this morning. So he's talked about we have to love our enemies. And I seen my enemy twice this week at Bible school of all things, and had to walk right by him three or four times. And I always kept going back to the verse, keep doing kind works to them, because it's like heaping hot coals on top of their head. So I'm smiling when I wanted to be frowning. I'm smiling and grinning and speaking, how you doing today? Good to see you today. Just trying to be ultra positive, but on the inside, and y'all know what I'm talking about. When you get mad at somebody on the inside, what are you? You're festering up, right? Man, I'm ready to pull a Money Mayweather, right? And so it's festering up inside of you. So you're praying, Lord, give me wisdom. Lord, give me patience. Give me peace to be able to handle this situation. Am I right? Or do I only one suffer with that, right? And so when we look at this tonight, Love covers all sins. Loving my enemy. Man.
That's hard.
1 Corinthians 13:5. Love thinks no evil. Love thinks no evil. Wow. James 5:20. Let him know that he who turns away a sinner from the error of his ways will save a soul from death and what? Cover a multitude of sins. A multitude of sins. People that are struggling. Well, Michael, why do you spend time with all those people that are struggling? Because if we, through the love of Jesus Christ, can turn that sinner, concern that sinner from the error of their ways and save that soul from death, it will cover a multitude.
That's right. That's right.
1 Peter 4:8. Peter quoted from Proverbs. He says, above all things, have fervent love for one another. Why? Because love will cover a multitude of sins. Love. Oh, how we need to love in the church, how we need to love at our work, how we need to love in our homes, how we need to love in the community, how we need to show love, and who needs it more than anybody. I'm telling you tonight, I'm preaching to Michael Mines. I'm preaching to Michael Mines. Verse 13, wisdom is found on the lips of him who has understanding. But listen to this. A rod is for the back of him who is devoid of understanding. A rod. Woo. Let's talk about this for a second. Wisdom is found on the lips of him who has understanding. Wisdom is found on him that has lips of understanding, lips of discernment. Wisdom. People that are able to discern. My wife has the gift of discernment. Michael, watch him. Michael, watch her. Michael, she has a good gift of discernment. The Lord's blessed her with that. Oh, Jacqueline, they're good people. And then they turn out to be crazy. Right? Oh, Michael, what? I'm telling you, watch them. Watch them. There's just something not right about that person. Oh, man, they're good people. Hey, you want to go smoke pot after church? I'm telling you, folks, there's some weird people in this world today. Some psychos in this world today. But wisdom is found on the lips of him who has discernment, who has understanding. Well, listen to this. But a rod is for the back of him who is devoid of understanding. This is the first time we see corporal punishment introduced into the Proverbs. We're going to see it again. Corporal punishment is introduced to two people in the groups in the book of Proverbs. The first person is the fool. The second people group are kids. Kids. Okay, you spare the rod, you spoil the child. Okay? You spare the rod, you spoil the child. Okay? So let's think about this tonight. This corporal punishment, he's talking about a rod is for the back of him who is devoid of understanding. That word in the Hebrew, devoid of understanding, means somebody lacks judgment. So for them to understand something, they have to be hit with the rod. Okay? Jerry Bruce Mize hit me with his belt. And so when I was devoid of understanding, when I lack sound judgment, you're running with them heathens, you're going to get busted across that tail end until your tail end recognizes with that brain to stop doing what you're doing. And I would rebel and I would rebel and I would rebel, but what did I tell you? When I got about 24 years old, my mom and dad were the smartest people I've ever known. Right? That's what happens. So parents, listen to me tonight. Don't give up on your kids. Don't ever give up on your kids. You keep praying. You keep fighting. You keep disciplining. You keep being there for them every step of the way. It'll pay off. It'll pay off. The rod is for the back of the man who is devoid of understanding. Verse 14, wise people, there's that word again, wise, store up knowledge. Store up means to keep. Wise people do three things with knowledge. Number one, they listen. Okay. Haven't we heard this already? Am I getting redundant tonight? Everybody said amen. Number two, they discern. We just talked about that. And number three, wise people test. They test. They test all spirits. Who's a fraud? Who's not a fraud? right? Wise people store up knowledge, but listen to this. The mouth of the fool, the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. They spout off all the wrong things. Dr. J. Vernon McGee said this. He said, the fool has one foot on the banana peel and the other foot in the grave. That's the definition of a fool. Okay? Verse 15, the rich man's wealth is his strong city. What's he talking about there? Somebody that's rich, that has a strong city. What is his strong city? His strong city is this, is that he has the money to put a hedge of protection around his home, around his city. There is nothing wrong with you having the money to be able to protect your home. There is nothing wrong with taxpayer money being spent to build a border wall to protect your home. Because a wealthy man's riches, look at here, a rich man's wealth is his strong city. It is fortified. It is taken care of. And you and I, as men of the house, we are called to protect. Our home is our what? Our castle. And if our home is our castle, you know who I've got to protect? I've got to protect my beautiful wife. And I've got four beautiful daughters that depend on who for protection? Depend on me. A wealthy man's, this is what he says here. A rich man's wealth is a strong city. But listen to this. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. Now, don't the social activists need to hear this verse tonight? They need to hear this verse tonight. Because the destruction of the poor, poor in the Hebrew means weak, it means feeble, it means helpless. They can't do anything. And listen, folks, we have some truly poor people in our community. We do. We have some truly poor people in our nursing homes. We do. We have people that are truly helpless, they're feeble, they're weak, they can't do it on their own. But Solomon says the destruction of their poor is their poverty. Dr. David Jeremiah said poverty in itself is not a sin. But poverty is a sin when you're lazy. When you're lazy.
Yeah.
So I would encourage you tonight, if you're in poverty, assess why you may be there. Assess that. And if there is a reason that you are in poverty, that you can't help, praise God, don't go to the government for help. Go to the church for help. Because the church likes to help the needy. But then there are people that say they're in poverty, but they can go buy a pack of Marlboros. They can go buy a six-pack of Corona.
Mm-hmm.
They can go out and blow and go and eat out all the time. But, oh, I'm hurting for money. I'm hurting for money. Man, used to, when I was young and naive and gullible, I'd be a sucker for those people. But now, I really don't have the time of day for them. I need to borrow $20. Okay, stop smoking. Well, hey man, do you think you could loan me some gas money? Well, what are you spending your check on? Well, I got me some beer the other night. No, I'm not giving you any money. Well, hey, could you take me to the store and maybe give me some money so I can go in there and get some groceries? No, I'll go in with you and get the groceries for you, but I'm not going to let you go in there and get what you want because you're just going to go in there and get a bunch of junk, get dill, get chewing tobacco, get drinks, get potato chips. We're going to go in there and get you groceries. Am I on the same page with y'all tonight? And I tell you, the destruction of the poor is their poverty. I know you're ready to go home. Verse 16. The labor of the righteous leads to life. Remember that principle that I told you about this morning? You will reap what you sow. That's a biblical principle found through the Word of God all the way from Genesis to Revelation. You will reap what you sow. Solomon says here, the labor of the righteous leads to life. Who is life? Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The wages of the sick, the wicked to sin. The wicked always reap trouble. The wicked always reap trouble. They've always got problems. They've always got issues. They've always got things going on in their life. And you say, why do you have these problems going on in their life? Because they're always involved in wicked things. And when you're involved in wicked things, just listen to me tonight. Get ready. You're going to have problems. When you get involved in wicked things, when you go out and say, well, Colorado's legalized marijuana, so there's nothing wrong with it. Let me smoke a few joints. You're going to have problems. Well, my doctor told me to take 2 Vicodin. If I take 4, maybe the pain will go away. Listen to me. You're going to have problems. Well, the doctor told me I could have a few drinks and I can mix my medications with a few drinks. It won't hurt anything. Listen to me. You're going to have problems. You're going to have problems. And people always wonder, why do I have so many problems? Because when you lead a wicked life, you're going to bring all those problems on yourself. You reap what you sow. Last verse. He who keeps instruction is in the way of life. Praise God. But here's the contrast to that. He who refuses correction goes astray. The wisdom of God, the instruction of God is the way of life, and this is what happens. You will be an example to others. You will be somebody of integrity that walks with God. I've had people tell me before, I don't have any meaning in this life. Oh, yes, you do. You were created by Almighty God. You have meaning in this life. When you keep instruction, it is the way of life. But those who refuse correction go astray. And this is what I've seen from personal experience. And personal experience really don't mean anything when it comes to the Word of God. But this does because it's a proverb, and it's a proverb that's real. He who refuses correction goes astray. People that refuse correction, and being in education, I've seen a lot of people refuse correction. I'm not talking just about kids. I'm talking about adults, too. They refuse correction. When you refuse correction, you're going to go astray. And one principle that I've seen over and over and over again in this life is this. Not only do you reap what you sow, but when you refuse correction, when you refuse it, correction, watch this. You're going to bring others down with you. You're going to bring others down with you. And we had to let some kids go from school. And I had the bleeding hearts come to me and say, we've got to save them. We can't. Only the Lord can. And so they get on social media and they say, your school, blankety blank blank blank. Your school, blankety blank blank blank. The mama, the school, it's your fault, it's your fault, it's your fault. But as she points those fingers to the school, she's got 3 more pointing right back at her. That's the problem. Those who refuse correction go astray, and they astray to death. I want to leave you with this, and we'll close tonight. Tomorrow, don't forget, I told you in the Memorial Day sermon, but I listened to another preacher this afternoon. Tomorrow is D-Day.
Really?
Okay, June 6, 1944. Oh, today. I'm sorry. That's right. June 6, today. I'm sorry about that. That's right. So we need to really pause and think about that. Thank you, Mr. Rick, for getting me in line here. We need to think about that today. As we think about that, I listened to this pastor, and he was talking about the celebration of what our men did for us at D-Day, and let us not ever forget. But he also talked about us as Christians, and I want to share this with you. He's got a lot of flack over this because he referenced a Civil War general who fought for the Confederacy, and all of the woke culture has blasted him for this. He referenced July 21st of 1861, the Battle of Manassas in Virginia. And there was a general there over the Confederate Brigade by the name of Bernard B. And to rally the troops, he said, look, there is Thomas Jackson. Look, there is Jackson standing like a wall of stone. Rally the Virginians. Now, take a time out. Civil War was not fought over slavery. It was fought over states' rights. Rally the Virginians. Look at Thomas Jackson. At that battle on July 21st of 1861, at the Battle of Manassas, Thomas Jackson was given the name Stonewall. Stonewall Jackson. And this pastor said this, and man, I agree. We need some Stonewall Christians. We need some Christians that'll stand up for what's right in the face of adversity. And the only way that we can stand is through our Savior, Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, these Proverbs tonight are so rich. And Lord, I know it takes time to exposit. I know it takes time to preach. I know it takes time to teach. But Lord, I thank you for our people here tonight. Lord, number one, I thank you for their willingness to learn. Lord, I thank you for their patience. And Lord, I thank you that they have an ear to hear what your word says to us. Lord, that thrills my soul tonight. Lord, I thank you for our guests here tonight. Lord, I pray that they've been welcomed. I pray that they've been blessed. I pray that they appreciate coming to New Hope Baptist Church. Because, Lord, our foundation is not on men. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our foundation, our salvation, everything is built upon you. And, Lord, tonight, as we go into our daily lives and these problems arise, let us not take the bull by the horns through our own means and through our own will. But Lord, let us discern your word. Let us test your word. And Lord, we know this about your word. Your word endureth forever. Lord, thank you for this tonight. We love you. We appreciate you. I ask a special blessing upon this church. Just give us a great week. A great week in you. To be able to share the light, to be able to share the gospel. And we ask this in the mighty name, the name above all names, the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Guys, I appreciate your patience.